Our last speaker is Megan Robinson. She's a program evaluator at the Mississippi State Department of Health, and she earned her MPH in Public Health, Epidemiology, and Biostatistics from Jackson State University. And before she became a program evaluator, she worked as a graduate student intern at the Mississippi State Department of Health. And she worked on a variety of chronic disease projects. She analyzed data, and she did abstract and manuscript development in the diabetes program. So we're delighted to have her here today. What she's going to talk about is barriers to prenatal care for women with pre-existing diabetes in Mississippi. So please welcome Megan Robinson.
Hey, I'd like to thank you all for being here. And like it was said earlier, I worked on this project while I was an intern at the Mississippi State Department of Health. And it's basically it's a descriptive study that I worked on while I was a graduate student at Jackson State. So, all right, and I have no financial disclosures. All right, this is my outline. I'm going to start with a background, then go to the study question, methods, results, conclusions, public health implications, and then my references. All right, type 1 and type 2 diabetes are among the most common medical comorbidities during pregnancy, particularly type 2 diabetes in women with of childbearing age. Pre-existing maternal diabetes is associated with increased risk of perinatal infant mortality and congenital abnormalities. Among the most common are in cardiac health, central nervous system, and the skeletal system. And women with pre-existing diabetes have higher obstetrical complications and intervention rates than women without diabetes. All right, this is from the CDC pregnancy webpage. It's just it was a handout that they had that shows the effects of the uncontrolled diabetes on the mother and the fetus, and and the infant. among the most common I want to point out for the mothers is preterm labor, hypertension, preeclampsia, and worsening of problems caused by diabetes. And for babies, uncontrolled diabetes causes stillbirth or miscarriage, and obviously large birth weight that can cause injuries during vaginal birth. All right, diabetes in Mississippi and the United States. In 2011, 10% of 18 to 44-year-old non-pregnant women in Mississippi reported being diagnosed with non-pregnancy-related diabetes. And in the United States, data has shown that there's an increase in the prevalence of diabetes, type 1 and type 2, in women of reproductive age. All right, prenatal care and pre-existing diabetes. Early and adequate access to prenatal care is very important, especially among women with chronic conditions. The purpose of prenatal care is, of course, to identify possible pregnancy complications in order to refer a woman to a specialist if needed. Early identification of complications and early treatment, especially done within the first trimester, can improve the pregnancy outcome for mothers and babies. All right, these are some of the barriers to prenatal care. I'm just going to point out a few. Unwanted and unplanned pregnancies, lower education levels, lack of transportation, lack of child care, inability to obtain an appointment, having Medicaid or no insurance, unemployment, and fear of the disclosure of a pregnancy. All right, and in Mississippi, there have been studies that have shown that there are disparities among racial and economic groups and prenatal care initiation. Less education was associated with no care or less than adequate care, and black women were more likely to receive less than adequate care or no prenatal care than white women. All right, so in summary of the background information, there is a high prevalence of diabetes among reproductive age women in Mississippi. inadequate and delayed prenatal care is associated with morbidity and mortality, and pregnancies complicated by diabetes and other chronic conditions. And barriers may exist that prevent mothers with diabetes from accessing prenatal care. Right. Which brings me to our study question, which was, what prenatal care barriers are reported by pregnant women with pre-existing diabetes in Mississippi? So we use data from the Pregnancy Risk Assessment Monitoring System, and I'm assuming that everyone is familiar with PRAMS data, but just to be sure, PRAMS is a surveillance system that uses a random sample from vital records. The PRAMS survey is a mixed mode survey where mothers are first contacted by mail, and if there is no response by a certain number of mailings, the mothers are then contacted by phone and interviewed. We included 4 years of data in our research. We used two different phases or versions of the survey. We used phase 5 and phase 6. From phase 5 of the years 2004, 2006, and 2008. And from phase 6, we included the year 2009. All right, our study was a cross-sectional study. Pre-existing diabetes was determined by those women who self-reported having diabetes before pregnancy within the survey. So the phase 5 question simply asked, did you have any of these problems during your during your most recent pregnancy? And they answered yes or no. One bullet was high blood sugar diabetes that started before pregnancy. Another was high blood sugar diabetes that started during pregnancy. So we included all those that answered yes to A, high blood sugar during pregnancy. And we included those who only answered yes to A, because there were some that may have said yes to A and yes to B also during, but we were only interested in those who were already diagnosed with diabetes before their pregnancy. And in the phase 6 survey, the question was, before you got pregnant with your new baby, were you told that you had type 1 or type 2 diabetes? And of course, we only included those that that answered yes. All right, so to determine barriers, mothers were asked, did you get prenatal care as early in your pregnancy as you wanted? And if they answered no, their next question that they were instructed to answer was, did any of these things prevent you from getting prenatal care at all or early as you wanted, or as early as you wanted during your pregnancy? And these barriers included, I couldn't get an appointment earlier in my pregnancy. I didn't have enough money or insurance to pay for my visits. I had no way to get to the clinic or doctor's office. I couldn't take time off from work. The doctor or my health plan would not start care as early as I wanted. I didn't have my Medicaid card. I had no one to take care of my children. I had too many other things going on, and I didn't want anyone to know that I was pregnant. All right, our analysis included the prevalence of diabetic versus non-diabetic mothers by demographics, including age, race, education, prenatal care payer, and marital status, and also the initiation of prenatal care, so first, second, and third trimester, and also no prenatal care. Our analysis also included specific barriers among the diabetic mothers. And all our analyses were conducted in South Sudan and weighted to produce unbiased estimates. Okay. And our results. Oops. All right, 3% of the women in our study years were reported as having pre-existing diabetes. 18% of those women responded no to the question, did you receive prenatal care as early as you desired? And the most common barriers that they reported were, I'm not going to read all the percentages for you, but they're ranked in order. from 1 to 5. The first one being no Medicaid card, then not enough money, the doctor insurance will not start care as early as I wanted, no transportation, and wanted to keep pregnancy a secret. All right, and we also saw that there was a significant difference in prenatal care initiation among women with pre-existing diabetes versus women without diabetes. And as you can see, I'd like to point out that there were more women who initiated care in the second trimester that were diabetic versus those that weren't. And also there were more women who were diabetic that had no prenatal care than those that weren't diabetic. All right, and in conclusion, we saw that there were a number of barriers to prenatal care that exist among pregnant women with pre-existing diabetes. Diabetic women initiated prenatal care later than non-diabetic women, and that further study is needed to understand maternal characteristics associated with these barriers. All right, and our public health implications. Diabetes care providers, women's health programs, chronic disease programs, and health policy leaders could collaborate to eliminate barriers and support early prenatal care among women with chronic diabetes. And this could be, I guess, people from the medical field, the federal government level, state level, to all collaborate to figure out ways to, not just for women with diabetes, but also women with chronic diseases in general. And diabetes care providers could counsel diabetic reproductive age women to plan for their pregnancies and to control their glucose levels before and during their pregnancy. All right, and I'd like to acknowledge the Mississippi State Department of Health and also our co-authors, which are here, Mary Wesley and Connie Bish, and also Amil Muhammad, who's she's here, and also the PRAM staff at the State Department of Health and the Office of Preventive Health, and also Jackson State University, which is where I was attending graduate school at this time. All right, these are my references, and thanks.
I have a comment. I think your paper is great. You know, one of the things that, and one of the reasons we brought this group of four series of speakers together is really to say how important surveillance is. Because these women wouldn't be up here talking without PRAM. They wouldn't be up here talking without vital records, actually, that they've employed, that, you know, could have been under current plans. And it makes us really think about how we have to advocate for continued funding for these kinds of things, because that's how we produce new knowledge, that's how we do needs assessments. And I thought, when you spoke, Ms. Robinson, about, I think it was, 18% of the women said they didn't want to disclose pregnancy or something like that. So that really speaks to some of the things that, actually, Ms. Bullen was talking about, which is about women's health, which includes family planning. And certainly, Ms. Callahan in preconception health, which is about family planning, and, you know, not wanting to disclose a pregnancy isn't something that we can maybe do, you know, at the provider level, actually, because that's really a family planning issue, and that's really making sure that women have pregnancies when and if they want them, probably.
That was one of the barriers that I wasn't expecting to see as being one of the top ones. There were. Well, actually, 15.7 women that wanted to keep their pregnancy a secret. So, and these were among the women that were diabetic. So,
it's like an unmet need for family planning counseling or contraceptives there. Interesting.
I used to work in a California diabetes and pregnancy, and we lost funding in June this year. So, but we did a lot of preconception pushes, and it was amazing. We never could get the numbers up to get people in. You know, and I think people with complications on them didn't want to show up. They're afraid of getting pregnant. They shouldn't have a baby. They should abort. And I remember the day that they had cardiac or kidney, a lot of times we would recommend they don't go through pregnancy. You know, and then they should be there before. But people used to tell me they didn't think they could get pregnant. Somebody from somewhere along the line told them, oh, you guys, you shouldn't get pregnant. Not that you can't.
You
shouldn't. And they interpreted it as couldn't. Any other comments for any of these four group speakers? Let's thank them.